dear friends, in Christ God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. He welcomes sinners and invites them to his table. Confident in his forgiveness, let us humbly confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Strengthen you in all goodness and bring you to everlasting life through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Henceforth, blessed their divorce, both with one another. The Lord heeded and heard them. And a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and thought in his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, my special possession on the day when I act, and I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. Then once more you shall distinguish between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. For behold, the day is come, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day that comes shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise, with healing in his wings. You shall go forth, leaping like calves from the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes in the soles of your feet, on the day when I act, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and ordinances that I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of fathers to the children, and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the land of the curse. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. words of my mouth and meditations of my heart, be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. From a reading from the book of the prophet Malachi. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, my special possession on the day when I act. And I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. And once more you shall distinguish between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. In preparing for my sermon, I was all excited about doing that and being here with our beloved parish family for many years. And then I read the gospel and I went, oh, wonderful. God's got a real sense of humor to give something this complex in character, this kind of off-the-wall kind of thing coming out of the mouth of our blessed Lord Jesus. But in reading it and meditating on it and doing my exegesis and all those wonderful things that we clergy get to do when we prepare our sermons, it dawned on me how very important this gospel is for us at this particular time in the church year, as we anticipate the beginning of Advent in a few short weeks, as we begin our preparation to receive the Lord of life into the world at the Christmas time. This gospel sets us in the mindset of beginning to contemplate those things that have to do with life and death, with judgment, and how we are to measure up in the final days as our Lord prepares for his triumphal return to judge the living and the dead. We don't think much of that anymore these days. We don't think of ourselves as having to stand before the judgment throne of Christ to make an accounting for who we are and what we have done in the service of God and for the building up of his kingdom. Let us be very clear that each and every one of us, by the very nature of our baptismal covenant of faith, is required and indeed is expected to build up the kingdom of God, to assist in that through our prayers and through our good stewardship and through our worship and through doing of good deeds and to serve those who are less fortunate than we ourselves. And each and every day ought to be an opportunity for us to examine our lives in our time of prayer and meditation and our rising and our going down, so that we will really continue to focus on those things of God in the midst of a world that is often very ungodly. And the gospel certainly is highly complex, to be sure, because it's apocalyptical in nature. Luke is addressing things that are happening in first century AD. And people are wondering when Jesus is going to return. But Luke is perhaps better at preparing us for the delay in his return than the other writers of the gospel. Everybody was, when are you going to come back? Boy, given where we are in the world today and certainly in our church, it would be a bad thing if he came back tomorrow and just kind of let us all off the hook from worrying and scurrying around and wondering what's going to happen next. But the good thing about this gospel is it tells us and shows us that God is the God of history, that he uses history to fulfill his will, that in the end, good will triumph over evil, that the word of God will be made manifest throughout the world, and that the same God who brought us in out of nothingness into who we are, the same God at the beginning of creation is the same God now and always and will be, who reassures us of his presence among us through his Son, Jesus Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is just as true for us personally in our own personal lives, whether there are vicissitudes that you may be experiencing in your life, the challenges, the struggles, the losing of a job, looking for another job, the difficult relationship that you may be in, or the lost ones. You begin to question that and you begin to lose hope. But I believe that our gospel reassures us that we must be patient and wait pleasantly upon the Lord's pleasure, to trust in God, to trust in him, and know that God is always faithful. To be sure, our faith is not so much in religious doctrine as it is in the truth that God fulfills his promises, that he is faithful, and he has promised to bring us into his heavenly kingdom through his Son, Jesus Christ. And in that truth, we must trust. We must hope with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. But as we are in the midst of that hope, we must do so with patience and endurance. Now, the Greek word for patience is kind of a curious one, hypomene. And it's not patience that we kind of think of in kind of an offhanded way. Be patient, be patient. I know watching my two-year-old granddaughter run around, you know, two-year-olds don't have a lot of patience when they want something right now. And I think sometimes we adults have that same kind of idea of patience. That we want it right now in our own time. But in this wonderful, powerful Greek word, hypomene, it doesn't necessarily, in a simple sense, mean patience, but a persistent endurance. A persistent endurance. And what Jesus is calling us to in the gospel today is a persistent endurance in our faith. To even in the midst of the difficult things that may befall us in our life, both personally and in terms of the church and in terms of the world, we must have that persistent endurance. And in being persistently enduring, we must do so faithfully and do the things that the church has shown us to do to strengthen and encourage us in our faith. To be fervent in our prayer, to be disciplined in our worship, to be faithful in our stewardship, to do all those things that God commends us through his holy word to do as we prepare for those difficult times that befall us in our lives. You know, it's easy to be faithful when everything's going your way. It's so very easy to do that. The real challenge comes is, during those good times, have you prepared and strengthened yourself in your faith and made yourself available to God working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, so that when the things that are difficult befall us, we're able to pass through them with strength and courage and confidence to know that God is in the midst of those things, in the midst of our own history, in the midst of the history of the world, to lead us to the other side. And to know that hope is always on the other side of despair. I believe that this is one of the things that is intrinsic in our gospel this morning, that Jesus is really trying to draw out of us that trust and that confidence to know. And we as Christians have to know that not everything is going to be easy. Not everything is going to be the way we want it. Because we live in a world where evil does exist. That evil that draws us away from the love of God, that tempts us. It's always on the fringes of our life, touching us on our hearts, just trying to convince us to shy just a little bit further away from God. And it is in those times that we must depend upon our prayer and depend upon that which we have prepared ourselves for to overcome those difficult things with persistent endurance. And it is only through that persistent endurance that we will be able to secure real life. Not the real life that we think of as living right now, but that real life in the person of Jesus Christ, who comes in all the fullness of God to show us the way, the truth, and the life into that wonderful kingdom, into that prepare us for that day when we will feast with our Father who is in heaven for all of eternity. To know that Jesus will be faithful in his promises and that when he returns to judge the living and dead, we shall be judged as righteous and continue to serve him as we do in this life, in the life to come. And as we experience and practice persistent endurance, we must do so as servants, to offer ourselves, our time and our talent and our treasure to the building up of God's kingdom in this place, to be witnesses to the power of Jesus Christ in the world around us, and being faithful and having confidence to know that in doing those things, we will understand that true life that Jesus comes to offer us, and that he will lead us into that heavenly kingdom. As the prophet Malachi, which Malachi incidentally means my messenger in Hebrew, as God's messenger says, they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, my special possession on the day when I act, and I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. That you and I are to be confident in the knowledge that we are God's special possession. And part of our life is to allow God to possess us. with all his love, with all his mercy, with all his compassion, and in possessing us through the power of his Holy Spirit to begin forming us so that we become the children that he intends for us to become, and that the life that we are intended to live is not the one that we have now, but the one with him for all of eternity, where we will experience the true depth and breadth of God's love for us and experience that real life in and through the person of Jesus Christ. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, as we anticipate our beginning pilgrimage during the Advent season, let us begin to prepare ourselves in heart, mind, and body. Prepare ourselves in beginning to focus on those things that will help us become the children that God has called us to become, that we may experience what it means to be possessed by God, possessed by his Son Jesus, possessed by the Holy Spirit, and in doing so, grow in the riches which is ours in the power of Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let us stand in the words of the Nicene Creed, the word of faith that comes down to us from the apostles. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord, saying, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Grant, Almighty God, that all who confess your name may be united in your truth, live together in your love, and reveal your glory in the world. We pray for James, our bishop, Paul, our canon, Douglas, our parish priest, and all who minister in your church. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Guide the people of this land and of all nations in the ways of justice and peace, that we may honor one another and serve the common good. We pray for George, our president, Mike and Rick, our governors. We remember those serving their country at wartime: Michael, Paul, David, Mark, James, Chris, Alex, Charles, Brandon, Trey, Chris, Zach, Brad, Damien, Jim, Adam, Jacob, and Kyle. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Give us all respect for the earth as your own creation, that we may use its resources rightly in the service of others and to your honor and glory. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless all those lives are closely linked with ours, and grant that we may serve Christ in them and love one another as he loves us. We remember those of our parish family who celebrate birthdays this week: Camden, Williams, Richard, Carol, Melanie, Kendall, Mike, Tom, Sharon, Carol, Tyler, and Tweet. And J.C. and Serena Martin, whose household we lift up in prayer this week. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit, especially those on our prayer list. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We commend to your mercy all who have died, especially Richard, that your will for them may be fulfilled. And we pray that we may share with the Blessed Virgin Mary, James, our patron, and all your saints in your eternal kingdom. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Pray for all those who travel this week. Pray for Christians living in Muslim lands. Pray for healing in families. All this we ask through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Please have a seat. Very quickly, welcome to those who of you who are visiting. We have people here from Heath. We have people here from Memphis, all over the place. It's wonderful to have you here. If you're in town and visiting with us, please leave one of those guest cards in the pews in the place that comes by so we have a record of your visit. It is warm in here, isn't it? I have four more layers on than you. Two inserts in the bulletin this week. If you'll just draw a note that on Wednesday, in the calendar, no Wednesday evening program. The Mass of Thanksgiving Day is at 10 o'clock that morning. And next Sunday, November 25th, and last Sunday in the church year, despite what it says in the bulletin, there is no Christian education at 9 o'clock. Mass at 7:45 and 10, but nothing at 10 o'clock. We're taking our Thanksgiving break. Are there any celebrating anniversaries of birth or of marriage? Pray God's blessing. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these, your servants who come before you today seeking your blessing, both as individual Christians and as a married couple. We thank you for giving them life. We thank you for giving them life eternal by water and the Spirit. Lead them in paths of holiness and righteousness all their days. Make them a blessing to your world. Help them to bless you in all they do. The blessing of God Almighty, the Father who created you, the Son who redeemed you, Holy Spirit, who sanctifies you, be upon you this day, and remain with you always. Amen. Among the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, and peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you. become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ is alive. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of you, and unending life. Sanctify us also, that we may